scripture this morning will be coming from Revelation 22, starting at verse 7. Once again, that's Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse 7. And it reads, "Behold, I am quickly blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his holy and divine word."
Good morning. It's definitely a privilege and honor to be here today. I hope that scripture reading has gotten your attention. The decisions and the choices that we make, they are decisions that will determine what our final destiny will be. Either we will be with God when it's all said and done, or we will be with the devil. It's a matter of choice, and we have to be honest, and we have to be straightforward, and we have to look at ourselves to see where we are. I have a couple goals for myself personally with this lesson. I always hope that the lesson is powerful, and I have come to know that every lesson that will be preached is powerful as long as you use God's word. According to Hebrews 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful. I want it to be plain, and I also want it to be persuasive, because Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade man. And as we think about that, what I would like for you to do is to listen to the evidence. Listen to God's word, what's going to be said. And then I want you to examine the evidence to make sure what I'm saying is accurate and correct. And if those things are correct, I want you to examine yourself to see where you are. Now, if we do that, we're all going to have something to do. As you think about the Lord's Day, you know, we need a Bible. And the reason we need a Bible, because the word of God is able to save our soul. And if you think about God's word, if any man speak, it said he must speak the oracles of God. That's the only thing that we can speak. And when it comes to preaching God's word, we have to give book, chapter, and verse, and not lip, tongue, and teeth. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 is where our lesson will come from today. And I want you to consider, when I was growing up, once me and my brothers got to a certain age, parents sometimes, they got rid of babysitters and they said, I'm going to give you a chance to stay home. And many times when you were given those instructions to stay home, you were given some specific do's and don'ts. One would be if someone comes and knocks on the door, you don't answer it. You don't say, who is it? You don't do anything. See, my parents were so much so that where they told us that to, well, one day they sent our aunt over there. After they gave us those instructions and she knocked on the door, we could see who it was, but you know what? We didn't answer it. We didn't open it. We didn't say anything because we were told not to say anything. Then my aunt started to say, I see y'all in there. In other words, I got to thinking about, have you ever knocked on a door and folks hear you knocking, but they will not let you come in? See, there was a song back in the day, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. That's our title today. In Luke 13, starting at verse 22, let's look at this text and then we'll expound a few things, and this is where the lesson will come from. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. When you think about that, how does that make you feel? When I go to work, if I don't have my badge, I can knock on that door all I want to, but they're not going to let me in unless I go to the proper places and they say I can come in. See, when you think about heaven, when you think about getting in, there are going to be so many people that's going to knock, and they're not going to be able to get in. See, the interesting thing about this parable here does not deal with folks that does not believe in God. It deals with folks that believe in God, but it also tells us what we need to do in order to be able to enter in. See, I got 4 points that I want to look at today. We're going to talk about the priority of salvation, the place of salvation, the penalty of no salvation, and we're going to talk about the people of salvation, and this lesson will be yours. Let's get right into it. Now, let's look at the priority of salvation. Look at verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, as he was going through these cities and villages, he was teaching and he was preaching God's word. Now, when you think about the priority of salvation, look what he said, verse 23. Then said one unto him, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive. Well, when you look at that word strive, means that you have to really be trying. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's stuff that's going to be tough for you to do. If you're striving, then you're really trying to struggle through. You're struggling hard trying to make salvation a priority. See, when you think about the priority of salvation, salvation needs to be number one in our life. Any day that we wake up, that should be number one. Our salvation is what's most important. But when you think about the fact that he said, are there few that be saved? See, when you think about that, what is a few? And I go through the Bible, you look at various things, and my mind always go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Let's turn there. We're going to come back to this. But I want you to see in 1 Peter chapter 3, in the days of Noah, there were few that were saved. And we need to understand that salvation today is going to be a few that's going to be saved, because not many folks are going to strive to do what God will have them to do. They may profess that they love God. They may profess that they want to love him. But Jesus has said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, we all know Noah in Genesis chapter 6, he built an ark. And he built this ark to the specification that God had prescribed. And many, when you look at it, you say, you know what? That's not a really big art when you think about how many people could have potentially been on the world. But when God had Noah construct that ark was big enough for all the folks that was going to get into that ark. And so the question is this, if you were there, would you have got on that ark? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, look what the Bible says. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. 8 is the few. When you think about it, it could have been anywhere from 500,000 to 1 million, even more. But when you think about that, does it put you in the presence of mind to help you to understand and know that when God says few is not how we typically look at it. Few could be a very small number. Now, when you think about salvation, And you think about Noah, and you think about how he did what he did. The long-suffering of God waited. Noah built the ark, and it took a long period of time. And Noah had to live by faith and not by sight because he hadn't seen rain before. But he was instructed that it was going to rain. But when you look at that and you think about how they were saved by water, Noah strove to enter in. And we got to strive too. Now, when you think about striving and you think about trying to do things God's way, God has always given us precepts to know exactly what we need to do. And he explains it. And that's the good thing about God. He doesn't leave it up to us to figure it out. He tells us exactly what we need to do. Verse 24 says, and he said unto them, strive to enter into the straight gate. See, the straight gate is a narrow gate. See, the narrow gate is restrictive. It tells you this is what you can do. This is what you can't do. But the narrow gate will keep you in good graces with God. See, for instance, if your parents told you when you were growing up to go to school and make good grades and you won't have any problems with me when you come home, if you do that, you know, you're trusting that you're not going to have any problems with your parents. More times than not, they're going to be pleased that you're doing what you're supposed to do. But if you don't do those things and you come home, you have a problem. You have consequences to face. In life, when we make choices, we have consequences to face as well. So let's continue reading. He says, strive to enter into the straight gate. Now, that's the precise instruction of what we should do. That's the precept. We need to strive. We need to struggle hard to be about what God tells us to do. Now, look at the preciseness when you think about what he's saying. He says, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, when you look at that, you should be like, why is it that many are going to seek to enter in, but they're not going to be able? What's the difference between those who will be able to enter and those who won't? It's a clear indication that someone has done something differently. And when you think about that, they have not made salvation a priority. See, we have a lot of folks that profess to be Christian, to love God and say that I love the Lord. I can show you how to get to heaven. But where are you going to be at 5 o'clock tonight? 5 o'clock, we meet again, right? Some have already made up in their mind, I'm not coming, I can't come. But God has always said that we need to do exactly what his scripture says. None of us know enough Bible to where we don't need to come to worship service. We need to know that. God expects us to spend time with one another because when we assemble, we are able to consider one another and provoke one another to love and good works. See, if you don't want to hear, if you don't want to knock, and not be let in, then you need to make sure that you put yourself in places where you can get the instructions of what God expects as well as command. Now, look at verse 25. Let's talk about the place of salvation. When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. See, I don't know what type of image you get when you look at that and you see what the scriptures say. But I visualize him getting up. Now, when he shuts the door, notice the knocking starts. Now, if you are in the house, you're not knocking. See, when you think about this door, see, this door represents a door of distinction. See, have you ever went out, your parents tell you to be home at a certain time, and they'll tell you, if you're not in this house by midnight, the doors are shut, you better find somewhere to go. But you get to the point where you say, I'm coming in at 1 o'clock, and you try to run up into the door, and the old school door, they had that chain on the door, so you can open it up, and you'll get stuck, and then they'll come and they'll look at you, and they'll say, what you doing? I hear you knocking. You can't come in. See, when that happens to you, that will cause you to either straighten up and fly right, or they'll call you to rebel. But the choice is yours. See, God expects us to do things a specific way. But once that door is shut by the master, what that door represents to us. See, on one side, the door represents denial and exclusion. You know, you have a fence in your house, in your yard or whatever. A lot of times people have fences. Fences serve two purposes. It's to keep things in and also keep things out, right? Now, when you think about a door being shut, a door is set to allow people to come in when they're welcome and to keep them out when they're not welcome, right? And even we even take it a little step further. We have a alarm system today to serve as another thing to keep people out. And if they try to get in and they're not welcome and it goes off, what happens? The police are alerted. People start coming. And a lot of times they'll leave. But that door also represents, you know, that door being shut also represents for those on the inside mercy and grace. When you think about when God shut the door in the days of Noah, no one could open the door. See, when God closes doors, no one can open it. Regardless of how you feel and what you think. I often think, I don't know, the scriptures is silent about this, but you can only imagine if individual was close to the ark, when the ark started, when the rains started to flood the earth, I wonder if folks was trying to knock, try to get in. I don't know. But I think, maybe, quite possibly, human nature, if you were anywhere in the vicinity, you would probably try to save yourself. But when you think about when God shut these doors, it lets us know that our time is numbered. We only have so much time in our life to accomplish the things that God has set out for us to do. See, you know, when you think about it, David said it this way in Psalms 90 and verse 12. So, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, when you think about your days being numbered, how much time do you have left? None of us know how much time that we have. You know, I've heard it said that, you know, you could plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather. You can make plans, but your plans does not always happen. You remember the man in Luke chapter, the rich fool, said he was going to tear down his barn, build bigger ones, do this and do that. And then the Lord said, thou fool, tonight your soul will be required. All the things that he had planned in his mind that he was going to do, his time had ran out. See, when you think about procrastination, and I've thought about this in my life, procrastination is a thief of time, and we need to know that. Because, see, when we're procrastinating, many times we say, well, I'm going to visit this person. I'm going to do this. So I'm going to do that. All we have is right now to do what we can, while we can. And if we don't do that, then we can put ourselves in a position to where, you know what, we're not going to please God. Now, as you look at this, the master got up. He shut the door. And those who were without began to knock. And I often think about when I knock on people's doors and all the doors, I've never knocked on the door of someone that I know feeling as if I wasn't welcome. So I wonder if these individuals are knocking or other present of mind that they believe they should be able to enter in. Now, as you continue on reading, let's look at what they said in verse 25. Continue on. Verse 25 at the end. And ye began to stand without the penalty of no salvation. To knock on the door, saying, Lord, open unto us. Can you imagine pleading with God after he's given you specific instructions of, if you do these things, as we read in our scripture reading, you'll be able to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But if you are a person that's not holy, not doing what God wants, you can't expect him to give you mercy and grace at the time when which you're going to be judged. God is not a respecter of person. And God is not a respecter of time. When you think about it, God gives us a specific time to do the work that he set out for us to do. If we choose not to do it, that is on us. As Brother Chris talked about last week, we all have choices and we have consequences that follow those choices. If we choose to serve God, we can hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But if we choose not to serve him, that's fine. We'll hear, depart from me. Now, when you look at this, that's just the fact. And many times people look at Jesus and they say, oh, Jesus is so loving. He's so this. He's so soft. But Jesus is the one that will tell you, if you do not obey me, you cannot come where I am. He said, if you die in your sins, where I'm at, you can't come. He said he's the way, he's the truth, and the life. He's very specific in what he requires and what he expects. Many times folks just don't want to accept it. But they'll find out too late. See, in the days of Noah, that was truth seen too late. Now, when you think about this, you have to understand there is a penalty. Just because you plead does not change the results or the outcome. I remember I was in 10th grade. I had a biology teacher, Miss Ariel. I did really good in this class, and then it was time for grades. I had a 89.95. A 90 was an A. I said, oh, boy, I'm going to get this A. Miss Harriet used to have these various things that she wanted you to do in class, do extra things, and me and a few guys in the class used to talk. We didn't do it. So when it was time for a report card, I said, Miss Harriet, you going to hook me up and give me that A? She said, your grade is 89.95. What is that on the grade schedule? I pleaded with her, but she didn't change it. But what I learned from that aspect, you get what you deserve. You get what you earn. Now, when you think about that, you need to know and have to understand that there is a penalty for not having salvation. Now, God had made provision for them to have it, but look at the particulars of the text in verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in the presence, in thy presence, and thou hast taught and hast taught in our streets. So in other words, they try to identify and reason. You know us. We've been in your presence. We've been in your house. We've done this. We've done that. We've done this in the streets. But look at the response to that. You know, they say they eat and they drunk and they talk. Look at the punishment. Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now, if you are viewed as a worker of iniquity, after you said that you eating, you drunk, and you talk in the streets, he's saying that you've done things that's not according to how I have set it up. And if you've done things to how I've not set it up, guess what? You're wrong. See, God tells us that we need to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. We need to be sanctified by the truth. But if we're not sanctified and we don't know the truth, we're going to make mistakes, right? Now, these individuals here believed in God, and they were clearly trying to do the right thing, but look at the penalty. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So how many of us are willing to take chances with our souls today? Are you willing to take a man's word for what you're supposed to do? I'm going to tell you like this. I learned this when I was in Bible class, and my wife probably, she gets on me about it because I have so many notebooks, right? So anytime someone preach, I usually have notes and I write down every scripture that they say and I go back and read it. Even if they start quoting, I go back and read it. Why? Because I was trained to see if the thing that they're saying is sold. See, many times we look at and we hear preaching and things of that nature and we treat preaching and we treat God's word like a phone book. We look it up when we need to get an answer, we dial it and forget it. But God expects us to keep it in memory. See, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Who in here does not have a sin problem? See, Jeremiah said, oh, Lord, I know it's not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. Now, when you think about that, in order for us to be what God wants us to be, we have to develop the mind of Christ. Only way we can develop the mind of Christ is by hearing his word. First coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, look at the pains of those individuals that's going to hear, depart from me. Verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know how busy you guys are, but I get to thinking about folks weeping. Have you ever seen somebody weep? Gnashing of their teeth. I've seen people do that in pain, especially in football. I've seen guys tear the ACL, the various things. I've seen folks weep. I've seen them gnash. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a state that will never leave you if you go to this place. It's not like you're going to get as temporary as you're going to get some relief, but look at the pain that they're going to inquire. But see, well, one of the worst things about experiencing pain in life is when you experience pain in life and you know what you should have done. Can you imagine having to look back on things that you have not done when you know you should have done it? You knew what to do. There's a difference between you being ignorant, but you being informed and not doing it. Look at it. Look at verse 28 as we continue reading. He said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourself thrust out. Now, these are the individuals that they would know. They are familiar with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets. And they're going to be in the kingdom of God and they're going to be thrust out. Now, it makes me think, as Christians, we want to be where the prophets are. Because they're spoken of in a very high manner. They're going to be where the Lord is when judgment takes place. So if we're not there, we're in that place where we're going to have that pain. And the thing about being in that place is we made a choice to be there. So as you continue reading, we're talking about the last point, verse 29, the people of salvation. Now the people of salvation, and they shall come from the east, from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They're going to come from all places, all different regions. See, that's why Paul, when he did his missionary journeys, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, we are told, Jesus told his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is God's good news to save man. The gospel is designed to save us, sustain us, and shape us. And we need to understand it, we need to know it, and we need to obey it. Because if we don't obey it, we will be like those folks, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. And you can't come in because you didn't do it my way. Now, as you continue to look down, and you look at these folks that's going to be in the kingdom, look at the paradise, and they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Now, if they are sitting down in the kingdom of God, have you ever went to someone's house and you come in their house and you got the sense that you were not welcome? You came right on in the door and they had you at the front door. They're talking to you. They don't tell you to come inside. They don't walk you to a seat. When they do stuff like that, you can identify and you know what? They allowed me to come in, but I'm not too welcome. But if they tell you to come on in and sit on down, you say, okay, I'm pretty comfortable. But when you see these individuals that's in the kingdom of God, they're sitting, which was customary. When they were sitting, they're in a position where they're going to be taught, where God is going to be. He's going to teach them. He's going to wipe away all tears. And that's where we want to be. Now, when you think about that, then it says, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there first which shall be last. So you have to ask yourself this question. What would cause one to knock and not be heard? Consider Revelation 3 and verse 20. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, it's a familiar passage. But the Bible says in Revelation 3 and verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We have a choice to serve God or not. Notice he knocks, but he doesn't kick the door in. He waits for us to open. He waits for us to be received. But when you think about this world that we live in today, there are so many people that are going to be knocking on the door, but they won't be heard. And the reason they won't be heard is because, you know, there'll be folks, those who deviate from God's purpose and plan, they will be knocking, but they will not be able to enter in. Y'all remember Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10? They were doing the right thing the wrong way. And we have so many folks today that are doing the right thing. We got so many folks that have got up today on a Sunday morning, the first day of the week. They call themselves worshiping God, but they're not doing it in spirit and in truth. And if you're not doing it in the spirit and in the truth, you will be knocking and you will not be able to come in. Who else will knock, will not be able to come in? Those who change the truth of God into a lie. Y'all remember the prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13? God gave him specific instructions as he was dealing with Jeroboam not to do this or not to do that, not to eat. And then some man came to him and told him something and he ate. And then you see the donkey and the lion right next to his carcass. See, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. What happened when you have the blind being led by the blind? How many folks are out here today trying to tell you that they could get saved and they can do things and to please God? You got folks out here who really legitimately believe that women can preach God's word. And I always say, I had talked with somebody, I said, you know, is there a difference between authority and ability? I said, when I was 12 years old, I had the ability to drive a car. But did I have the authority to drive a car? No. But I said, if you look at God's word and you look at his word, if he says if he suffer not a woman to teach, then my question is, how can she preach? And you sit there as a man and say amen and you feel fine. You know, we had somebody over the house the other day and they said something that was quite profound to me. It was good to my ears because they're not Christians, but they said, how is it that people can do these things and not read the Bible? Now, if people read and see things, they will come to the right conclusion. See, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. See, There are folks that's going to have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're going to be knocking, but they're not going to be able to come in because they aren't doing things the way God wants them to do it. Who else will not be able to enter in? Who else will knock and not be able to enter in? Who else will be heard but won't be able to enter in? Those who turn their backs on God. See, even folks turned their backs on God when Jesus was on earth teaching. In John chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching these individuals, you know what? They said, the apostles said, hey, Lord, do you not know that they were offended in this sin? Jesus said, will you also go away? And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But there are going to be folks that are going to turn their back on God. You remember the rich young ruler who came to Christ and asked him, what must I do to inherit life? What am I lacking? Christ told him in Matthew 19. Okay, keep the commandments. He said, all these I kept from my youth. He said, but this one thing you lack. And he said, say on. He said, go, sell, give to the poor, come follow me. You'll have treasures in heaven. And you know what he did? He turned his back and he walked away. See, we do that sometimes. We walk away from God because we hear something that we don't like. See, some of us have, we love our children so much that we're not willing to hold them accountable when they do something contrary to God's word. See, we'll change our mindset, but God does not respect people. We have to respect his scriptures. See, who else will hear? Who else will be knocking but not be able to come in? We have some folks that love the praise of man more than the praise of God. We have some folks that believe the truth, but because of what others think, they won't obey the truth because it'll cause them to be viewed as peculiar or strange, but they don't do it. But those are the individuals, they don't change. They'll be knocking, and they won't be able to come in. And the dangerous thing about that is for you to believe something and not obey it is to go contrary to what Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, in which he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him shall I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. See, that's just a fact. There's a lot of folks that's going to hear the truth, understand and know the truth, but they will not obey it. There are some people that know that they need to hear the word of God, know they need to believe, know they need to repent, know they need to confess, but they're willing to not be baptized. They're willing to not be baptized. And see, everything, when you think about the plan of salvation, hearing God's word makes sense. Believing it makes sense. Repenting makes sense. Being confessing makes sense. Some people don't understand why did he say put baptism. Why do you got to be saved from baptism? You got a lot of folks that I could be saved by saying the sinner's prayer. Then my question is, what can a sinner pray for that God has not given him? A sinner can't pray for love because God has already given him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, when you think about the sinner's prayer, the whole premise of the sinner's prayer is this person telling God what to do. And they command God to come into life. No, God is the one who instructs. You do what I tell you to do, like I said, and you'll be able to enter in. Who will be knocking on the door and not able to enter in? Those individuals that love the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, they will knock, but they won't be able to enter in. And the reason they won't be able to enter in is because when you fall victim of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you put yourself in opposition to what the Lord says in command. We are to be holy because he's holy. Now, when you think about, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. What about the lukewarm Christian? The lukewarm Christian will be knocking, but they won't be able to come in unless they repent prior to their time ending. Jesus viewed a lukewarm Christian as someone that he would spew out of his mouth. Now, when you think about that, where do you stand today? If your time was up right now at this moment, at this junction, would you knock? Would you be knocking? And the Lord said, I hear you, but you can't come in. Or would he open the door? It's all connected to what we do. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Look at what the scriptures say. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, the Bible says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. None of us will get to heaven by mistake. It will be intentional. It will be deliberate in our actions as well as our thoughts. Many just think, I'm just going to slide right on over in there. No, no, no. No, no, no. Mm-mm. No, no. We have to do what God says. And when you think about what Jesus has said in his word, I look at the fact that that door was shut. And you think about people that's going to knock and want to enter in. I take it a step further. I think about my family members that who have died without obeying the gospel. And when I think about that, it moves me and it motivates me to try to share the gospel and share the truth with anybody who's willing to listen. Their fate is sealed. Once we die, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no purgatory. There's no praying nobody in, none of that. It's over. Their fate is sealed. But we can do something today about our fate. The Lord knocks at our door each day. We make a choice to let him in or to keep him out. He said in his word, if you open it up, he'll come in, he'll sup with you, he'll reside with you. But if you don't, he'll stand outside. And he's always waiting for you to open it up. Because if you open it up, you're able to have the abundant life. You're able to be about his business. You're able to be exactly what he wants you to be. But if you don't, open it up. You have to understand you made a choice. But with that choice, there's a consequence. See, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That makes it clear. If you don't know God and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's impossible for you to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We need to know that and be clear that God will never say well done if we have not done well. Now, we might hear in society well done when we have not done well, but God cannot do that. And he will not do that because he cannot lie, and he will not save you without obedience. Now, if you obey the gospel and maybe your commitment to God has not been what it should be, maybe right now you know if you were to die that you would hear, you would knock, but you wouldn't be let in. You can make that right. You can confess your faults. Repent, make that right, and God will place you on the highway of holiness. And if you've done that, if you made things right, or if you're here today, you never obeyed the gospel, God wants you to understand and know that all you have to do is hear his word. Believe that word. Believe that Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, died on the cross. 3 days later was resurrected. And if you're willing to repent, change your mindset and attitude about sin, if you do that and you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God every day of your life and you remain faithful unto death, after you're baptized and remain faithful unto death, you will hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So the question is, how many folks in your life, if they die today, they will not what they would not be able to enter in? Would you be able to enter in? Or would you not be able to? Would you be knocking, standing outside, trying to get in? Jesus had made it plain in his word that there will be folks that say, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. If you're here today, you need to pray. No one else, please come while together we stand and sing.